You're listening to the Reverse Stick, the Global Hockey Podcast, and it's once again time to join Jaspreet Sahni, the sports journalist from timesofindia.com. He's covering the Asian Games and is joining us today to talk a little bit about the hockey and the Asian Games themselves and what they actually are and how they work. And it's greetings to you, Jaspreet.
Thank you so much, John. It's great talking to you.
Well, firstly, for our audience who don't exactly understand what the Asian Games are all about, can you give us a sort of rundown about, you know, how they came about and what they mean to the countries competing in it?
See, the Asian Games begin in 1951 with Delhi hosting the first edition. Over the years, it has become more and more important because in terms of getting qualification for the Games, and not just that, but after the Olympics, it's now considered the second largest competition and even the toughest in a way, because you have China, you have Japan, you have Korea, India pitches in, so the competition is nowhere just limited to Asia, yes, but in terms of competition, it's a world class event and tougher than the Commonwealth Games. So and on stake are things like place in a direct entry to the Olympics, which the hockey gold medalists get from here, being the continental champions. So that's a big monkey off your back if you get to get the Olympics tickets right from the Asian Games, which happened with India in 2014 when they won the gold and booked their tickets to Rio right from Incheon. So that's what at stake in terms of hockey and in terms of overall competition. Asian Games is the second toughest quadrennial extravaganza for sports after the Olympics.
Is it seen within Asia itself as something that bonds the Asian community together?
Of course it does. Sports is something that binds you together. Whether it happens at an continental level or at a world level, it's obviously something that brings nations together. And that's what you see when, especially at the closing ceremony, when all the athletes march together and they're sharing personal time with each other, just off the field. So sports, whether it's at Asian Games or Olympics or Commonwealth Games or any other multidisciplinary event, it does bring people together, and in Asia it's nothing different.
Now, looking at things from a hockey perspective, before the tournament started, I would have thought that there was five teams on the men's side of the draw and five teams on the women's side of the draw who were going for those four semi-final positions, and the others were just filling up the numbers. But for those teams, it's an extremely important tournament to get to, isn't it?
Of course it is. Any international level tournament for countries who are not regular in international tournaments like Indonesia, Hong Kong, and all these nations, they are not playing international hockey on a regular basis, nor are they visiting for, say, practice test matches. So these kind of events, Asian Games coming once in 4 years, they look to grab the opportunity not to just upset the bigwigs in Asia, but also to get some experience, because playing against, when do you see Indonesia playing against India? In fact, in women's hockey, Indonesia played in India for the first time ever. So these are the kind of things they look to. Indonesia playing a number 9th ranked team in the world in terms of women's hockey is a big thing for them. Even if they lost 17-0, that's another thing, because that was a given. It was bound to happen. They took the pitch expecting that to happen. They put in the hard yards and got some experience, and that's what Asian Games brings to you.
It's interesting because it was performances against those lower teams that helped decide at least one of the semi-final spots on the women's side of things, when the Malaysian girls missed out, and basically they missed out because they didn't score enough goals.
See, people are looking at it in a different way, because China erased a 12-goal deficit in their last game, and they were playing against Hong Kong. So and it's called Hong Kong China. So that's a different way of looking at it. But yeah, China erased that deficit with that 15-0 thrashing of Hong Kong and went past Malaysia to take the number two spot and made India's chances a little more difficult, because playing against China in the semis is always a tougher proposition than playing against Malaysia. So it sort of evened out the competition in terms of skill level and competitive hockey. So that's what the semis required, and it happened. So that's fair enough.
Well, the women's semis have been decided, and it was the four teams we thought would go through. Japan have played Korea. As we're speaking, that game has finished, and Japan have gone through to the gold medal game, beating Korea 2-0. India's taking on China very soon, I believe, and you'll be sitting down to watch that, no doubt. Is it the same Chinese team that were at the World Cup?
I'm not too sure, because I haven't been at the venue to see the games. I'm covering it from a distance. Looking at the team sheets also, it's a mix, I believe. But yeah, China, I think they are number 10 now, or number 11 behind India. But rankings don't matter, especially in the semis, because considering the format of the tournament where you're playing the minnows in the pool games, the tournament begins now. The tournament begins with the semifinals. For the big teams, it's a matter of winning two games and winning the gold medal. So when it comes to the semis, even if China are bringing a mixed team, it won't matter, because if they happen to score first, then it's always advantage for the team.
How would that be received in India? Is there an expectation that the Indian women will win a gold medal, or is it, you know, they're happy to just medal at all?
See, India last won a gold medal in women's hockey way back in 1982, when women's hockey was introduced to the Asian Games for the first time. So they won a gold medal then. Since then, they have played the final only once more. That was in 1998. So it will be the third time that they will be entering the finals, which will in itself be an achievement. And once they are there, if they happen to beat Chinese, then they obviously would want to get the gold and book a place for the Olympics.
Well, look, quite frankly, you could throw a blanket over those four semi-finalists, couldn't you? I mean, it's hard to pick a winner out of any of those four teams.
Yeah, I think Japan, I didn't see the Japan-Korea game, but I think Japan won a close one and doubled their lead only in the, I think, last few seconds. That's what I am hearing. But yeah, Japan versus India, if it happens to be, then it will be a tough final. And Japan will be especially happy, considering they are the host of the next Olympics in Tokyo. Yeah. Their team reaching the final is a big box ticked for them, because that's what they're trying to do. Their women hockey is already doing well, and Japanese among the men are the second, are the most upcoming teams in Asia, if you see beyond India, Pakistan, Korea, and Malaysia. So Japan facing Pakistan in the men's semi-final, that's a very tricky one for Pakistan. I'm sure they are going to play it very carefully, because the Japanese can surprise you, as they did us in 2017 Sultan Azlan Shah Cup, where we won only in the last few minutes. So Japanese are a real threat. Even if India beat them 8-0 in the pool stage, Pakistan can't take them lightly.
And speaking of the men's tournament, the probably ended up the way we thought it, the four teams that were strongest. It could have been a toss-up between Korea and Japan for that last semi-final spot, but it's India who will be taking on Malaysia in one semi-final, and Pakistan, as you said, playing Japan. You'd think that India would be the favourites at this stage on the back of scoring 76 goals in five games.
See, scoring 76 goals apart, it's the intensity that India has brought to the table in this tournament, being ruthless whosoever the opponent is. That's what makes them the favorite, not the 76 goals. Because the way their forwards have been converting the opportunities, winning 17-0, 21-0, 26-0, 8-0, 5-3 Korea. So these kind of score lines are unheard of. In fact, if I can mention, it's a world record scoring 76 goals in a tournament.
Oh wow!
They broke Argentina's record from 2004, the Pan American Games, where they scored 68 goals. So, and India are still counting. They haven't finished the tournament yet. So they're going to set the record, set the bar a lot higher for other teams to break this. And to scoring these many goals is not easy. You may have easy opponents, but scoring goals is a different ball game altogether. You still have to beat a goalkeeper. You still have a defenders to beat. The quality or the skill level may not be the same, but you still have to score. It's still an international game. It's still an international goal.
You're right there. You can't argue with that, Jazz. What I found interesting, it was Sean Mourinho, I think, who said it before when he was still coach of the Indian men's team. But when he was asked about what his goals were looking forward into the year, he mentioned the Asia Cup and the Asia Games and the World Cup, but he didn't mention the Commonwealth Games in that sphere of what the team was really aiming for. Is that, you know, something that is more important to the men's team, is to win an Asian Cup as opposed to winning a Commonwealth Games?
Of course, winning the Asian Games is always a goal that's preferable than the Commonwealth Games, because as I told you earlier, Asian Games, and as you know, Asian Games gives you a direct entry to the Olympics. So that's something all the big hockey nations in Asia, Pakistan, Malaysia, Korea and India, they're aiming for, getting to the Olympics 2 years in advance so that their preparation can be streamlined in a better way. So that's what they're aiming for.
I'm not sure that you can answer this, Jazz, because it's just occurred to me as we're sitting here talking, but I mean, you'd have to say in the women's tournament, Japan's a very good chance of taking that out at this stage, and in the men's tournament, you know, they're still in the race. And now if Japan won one or both of those, they're the host. They've already got entry to the Olympic Games. What happens to that Olympic Games spot, I wonder? Will it go to the second team, or does it go back into the hat for the FIH to decide?
With FIH, you can't say, because obviously it will go into their hat to decide. But I think as far as rules are concerned, it opens up a space from Asia, and maybe the next best team from the Asian Games gets that place, but I'm not sure about that. That needs to be checked.
Yeah, that will be a question to ask as once we get the results through, I suppose. They won't bother doing much about it until then. Have you got a winner for both sides, the men's and the women's?
On the women's side, if India gets past China today, then they will have an even chance with Japan. Then you can't say that Japan will be the favourites.
Okay.
But India are playing probably their first tough match of the tournament against China. So if they happen to beat them, the confidence will be at a different level, and then the Japanese will have to be very careful against the Indians. In terms of the men's draw, you will be surprised, but I am putting my money on an India-Japan final. I don't know why, but I have that funny feeling where Pakistan will be caught napping by the Japanese. I might be completely wrong. They might thrash them 8-0, 10-0. But that's what my gut feeling says, that it's going to be an India-Japan final and India winning the gold.
Would it be an extra special final if it was India-Pakistan?
Of course. I would love to fly down to Jakarta.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't mind being in a game like that. I think it would be a wonderful crowd to be in. It would be amazing.
It will be brilliant. It will be equal to attending the entire Asian Games if you attend that match.
Yeah, definitely. Now, just while we've got you here, Jazz, the World Cup, how was the Indian women's performance perceived back home?
It was a mixture of disappointment and something achieved, because if you consider what India's objective would have been before flying to the World Cup, it was a quarterfinal place, which they achieved. And that's why their ranking improved from number 10 to number 9. So that was one objective achieved. But having reached the quarterfinals and getting the draw in your favor, like you're playing Italy and you were playing Ireland, then you were expected to win. On those lines, it was a disappointment because, though with due respect to Ireland, they reached the final. They were the story of the sports story of the year so far. So with due respect to them, India should have won that match, and the girls were disappointed because they lost. They were looking forward to progressing further because they had the draw in their favor once they reached the knockout stages. So yeah, in those terms, it was a little disappointing. But yeah, reaching the quarterfinals was considered an achievement of sorts.
Yeah, I thought they at times played some very good hockey. At just couldn't seem to continue that very good hockey, could they?
Yep, they played very well at times. Especially, I think, against USA, which was a must-win game. They played very well. They played the first game against England also very well. They would have loved to win that rather than drawing in the last 2 minutes. They would be disappointed with their pool match against Ireland, where they lost 1-0. They would have loved to win that also, and were favorite to win also. But yeah, losing the quarterfinals was a bit of a downer.
And of course, the men there on their preparations for the World Cup that is happening in Bhubaneswar later on in the year.
Yeah, of course, Bhubaneswar, and I'm hoping to be there at least. Yeah, hoping to be there at least, if not the Asian Games. So and interestingly, I was having a chat with Harinder. He mentioned about something about Mission December 16. which is when the final of the World Cup is to be played. So that's the kind of motivation, that's the kind of drive that is keeping this team together and moving ahead, like we haven't seen in the last 2-3 years. So Harinder must be credited for what he has done with the team, especially in terms of getting them together and playing ruthless hockey.
Oh, definitely, and they're a real chance at home. They're going to be right up there, I think, come the finals. You know, semi-finalists, I would think. But anything can happen on a hockey field.
Yeah, and there's a talk going on in the team that they want to leave their shirt behind in a better place. They want to create a legacy.
Oh, look, there's a lot to look forward to with Indian hockey, Jazz, and certainly this will be a big tournament for them, I think. Thanks for your time again today. I believe you got a new gig with the timesofindia.com. We can see your work there, can we?
Of course you can. I'm trying to put in my best effort there, and also tracking the Asian Games and covering it from a distance, but doing my bit of writing. So yeah, you can catch me there.
And you're on the Twitter as well, aren't you, Jazz Fruit? So people can stay up to date with everything that's going on at the Asian Games there, if, like me, they haven't got access to it.
Twitter is becoming a drug for me.
Oh, I don't think you're the only one, Jazz. You're not an orphan there, mate.
It's a dope.
Thanks for joining us again, Jazz Preet. Once again, it's been an absolute pleasure. And we'll look forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Yeah, sure. Hopefully with a double gold in hockey.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you. Bye-bye.